regardless of faith background or no faith background, Psalm 23 is the most requested funeral scripture in my experience. Almost every time, without exception, I sit down with a family to plan a service and they say, "Can we talk about Psalm 23? I memorized it as a child." Or some of other generations will say, "It was in our morning exercises at school to recite Psalm 23. They talk about its comfort and its familiarity. You might be tempted, as I've been, to first think of Psalm 23 as a funeral psalm. It's a place you often hear it. But I've come to believe Psalm 23 has little to do with funerals. It has everything to do with life and familiarity. In death, we want to know there are still things we can hang on to that haven't changed when other things around us are changing. We want to know we can depend on God and God will keep caring for us. Psalm 23 reminds us that life has those difficult moments and there is still protection and there is still joy. We can trust in the Good Shepherd. Biblically, prophets shine the light on Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Was it unusual this morning to hear Susan reading the Epiphany scripture? It feels a little out of place to hear about Jesus' birth right after Easter, doesn't it? But it has in it the prophet Micah telling of Jesus as the shepherd king from Bethlehem. Jesus, who as a ruler will come out of the people and shepherd them. The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Throughout our scriptures, there are 32 times we hear of God or Jesus as the good shepherd. It's a good number of times, something to pay attention to. Now, I have to tell you, in my years of ministry, I've never preached on Psalm 23 before. I had a little bit of a bias, it is. But it was in my conversations with Judy Gamble, actually, about 2 years ago, that she gave me some fresh insight. She, who trains sheepdogs, who has sheep as a way of doing that, her observations gave me pause to think about this very familiar passage. I'm thankful for her in the video and also for Keith Schneider doing the production of that video.
Sheep are calm, quiet, gentle creatures. They are curious and they have my sheep have a very strong flocking instinct. So if there's danger, they all get in a big group. And their first choice is to flee from any danger that they think is too much for them. And they follow wherever that leader of the group is taking them. And they don't even think about it. That's on her shoulders. They just follow. They don't always make good choices. They prefer going uphill to downhill also. And so sometimes, if they continue to go up those hills, they can get themselves into some pretty difficult circumstances. And especially if bad weather is coming and you're trying to gather them down and they're trying to get away, they really need a good team of shepherd and dog to bring them back. Now that I have worked a dog for several years with sheep, I am reminded of a pastor. The shepherd I see as Jesus, the dog I see as a pastor, and the sheep I see as the two, Jesus and the pastor, working together to train and teach and keep safe. But it doesn't have to be a pastor. It can be anybody who is working to help other Christians grow in their relationship with the Good Shepherd.
One of the things that drew me to her reflections about sheep, sheepdog, and shepherd was what I didn't hear her say. I've always heard sheep described, well, not very positively. In fact, some preachers will get up and tell you sheep are, well, kind of stupid. And every sermon I ever heard on Psalm 23 upplayed a lack of knowledge that sheep have and their utter lack of direction without a shepherd. It seemed a little off kilter to me somehow. What I loved about what Judy has taught me is there's the desire of sheep to be led. The needs of the sheep depend on the one who can see beyond them in time and in space. Shepherds need a shepherd dog team to know the needs of the sheep well and to care for them. There's an old story about a mother who was asked by a census taker about how many children she had. And so the mom begins to reply. She says, well, there's Billy and Harry and Martha. And the census taker, a little bit impatient, interrupts her and says, never mind. I don't need all the names. Just give me the numbers. The mother replied with a bit of righteous indignation, they don't have numbers. They have names. You and I are not serial numbers across our foreheads. We are known by God intimately, as a shepherd knows the sheep. A shepherd who knows the sheep and which sheep require more attention than others at different times. We often think exclusively of ourselves as those sheep, well cared for by the Good Shepherd. But I want to stretch that just a little bit to live perhaps as a sheepdog. A sheepdog is a reminder you must know the shepherd well, and you too must love the others around you. None of that is optional. Both the relationship with the shepherd and other sheep is essential. Philip Keller, the author of Lessons from a Sheepdog, writes this: more than anything else in the world, Jesus wants me to be his companion, his co-worker, his friend in helping to tend the flock. In effect, you and I are called to help the Good Shepherd. If we're serving alongside God in this role, do we know and love the sheep? Do we know them well enough to know when others are struggling, even before they've admitted it to themselves? Do we know our children, our spouses, our friends well enough to know what delights their hearts? Do we know our neighbors well enough to know when one of their family members is sick, how it is we might support them, instead of saying, if you need anything, give me a call? and then being surprised the call doesn't ever come. The Lord is my shepherd is a reminder of how well God knows us, how intuitively and intimately we who work with God must also know each other. We've recently had some time of visioning together as a congregation, and we've talked about how we can be in prayer about what God is calling us to next. One of the specific prayers we've had is that God would give us a specific heart for our community. There are needs all around the world, and we want to serve people well. There are as many ways to do it as there are Pinterest boards to like. Are we knowing and loving our community? Do we know what's specific here, right now? Not just what was here 30 or 50 years ago, but right now. This is part of what led faith leaders in our area to discern a need for Family Promise. To say honestly and earnestly, there are those without homes here in our community, and they need assistance in housing and food and budgeting and job skills, encouragement and support, so that they can live full and abundant lives. I give thanks to God for the last week we spent in hosting the Family Promised families. It included the first ever child born into the Family Promised families. Maundy Thursday, a little boy was born and was, 4 days old when he joined us. This is one way in which we know our community, love the people, and shepherd those who are in need. We have studied and loved these families. What exactly are their food needs? How do they like to be companioned through this process? What does it look like to have listening ears and extra blankets when necessary? Our love has taken us to talk with our guests with compassion and the desire to serve those who have needs different than our own. As we gather this morning, I don't imagine there are many of us who are concerned about where we'll sleep this evening. Those needs are different from our own. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want is a prayer and a declaration about the future. But it speaks to here and now as well. It becomes a declaration that we are people who are blessed, who can lead lives of confidence and courage and generosity, knowing that we have been blessed to be a blessing. When Elizabeth was a toddler, she would often declare that she wanted, not having yet learned the wisdom of Psalm 23, when she could not get what she wanted, she declared it over and over and over again. I want candy. I want cookies. I want toys. I want whatever it is you're not giving me right now. In fact, sometimes she would get so wound up that her sweet parents would not give her what it was she wanted. She forgot what exactly she wanted. And so it just became, I want, I want, I want. Even when she didn't know exactly what she wanted, she had a feeling of wanting. I wonder how often you and I are in that place. We're not exactly sure what we want, just that we're unsatisfied with what we've got. There must be, we imagine ourselves, something we want. in the face of a world that spends obscene amounts of money convincing us of what it is that we want. The right clothes, the right car, the right toys, the right vacation to make us feel at ease. How radical it sounds to say, I shall not want. I am completely satisfied with God's providence and care of my life. God spares nothing in caring for me. Jesus, my shepherd, and the sheepdogs who care for me on the team will lead me towards all that I need. So today I invite you, each time you feel a little bit like a toddler, I want, I want, I want, because it happens to all of us, that you might respond to yourself with, I shall not want. Not because you need to lecture yourself, but let it be a prayer that there will come a day in which you and I might say together with full certainty, I shall not want. May the Good Shepherd provide for you and for me all of our needs. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.